dive into this. We're in this series, Empowered, and it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church. And I said last week, our recording, I apologize, the recording last week had some glitches. It did not take. So the most amazing message I ever preached, we can say that. It's like the big fish that got away. We can say it's as big as we want. It's giant. It was the best message ever. So anointed. And the recording just glitched. So you can't even make it out. So I can say anything I want. We were talking about Samuel and how we were talking about Samson last week, and how God empowers people who don't deserve to be empowered. God moves through us in spite of us. And if you're feeling disqualified, you feel like I am not worthy to be a conduit for God. I am not worthy to minister on behalf of God. It's okay. God qualifies you, not you. That was last week. This week we're moving forward in time from Samson, the days of the judges before Israel had really become it's kind of this loose federation, sort of like in the United States when we were first free from England, and we were sort of this, we were this very loose confederation of states, and this is where Israel was in the days of Samson, the days of the judges, and they were trying to figure out, how do we work together, how do we come together, how does this work? And then God speaks to a man named Samuel, and he says, we are going to establish a kingdom. And we're going to establish a king. And that's the story we're going to get to today. This is the story of a man named Saul. If you've heard of Saul, Saul gets a really bad rap because Saul had serious character flaws. And he just had issues. But in his early days, God is the one who said, I'm going to have this man be the king. Now, maybe you've thought like this. This is a quote from Mary Brandybuck from The Lord of the Rings. And he says this, I know there's not much point now in hoping. He said it with a way cooler accent than me. But if I were a knight of Rohan capable of great deeds, but I'm not. I'm a hobbit. And I know I can't save Middle Earth. Have you ever felt like that? You ever felt like, I'm just me. I'm just kind of little old me. I can't change the world. I'm just me. And I know when I was a kid, I would feel like I need to be somebody else. Like I wanted to be a superhero. I wanted to be, you know, whether it was Superman or Spider-Man, or I really liked Flash Gordon, actually, as a little kid, because he was one of the first t-shirts I got. It was a Flash Gordon. It was like, yeah, and Shazam, too, which, has anybody even heard of Shazam? Yeah? You remember Shazam? Okay. Okay, you guys actually remember these. This is cool. Most of our younger college-age folks just kind of look at this blank stare like, what? Who? What are you talking about? So we can feel like that. Like, I need to be a new me. I need to be somebody different. You know, maybe it's even like, oh, if I were this famous actor, if I were this famous musician. Well, there's a guy named Saul who's kind of like this. Saul is a tall, handsome man. He's a humble man, but he comes from a rich family. Let's go to that next slide. This is actually what Saul has to say. I had to look up good-looking Middle Eastern men, because it said, the Bible says he was tall, he was handsome, he was humble, he was wealthy. And I had to be really careful, though. I was like, this could be a really dangerous internet search. I literally looked up handsome Middle Eastern men. I was like, okay. Like, caution. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. So this is what Saul has to say, sort of like Mary Brandybuck. Am I not a Benjamite from the least of the tribes of Israel? And is not my clan the humblest of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? This is kind of his attitude. Like, who am I? Who are my people? And God's going to call me to do what? You're looking for somebody else. Well, here's how this came about. I'll just tell you the story, and then we're going to get into it's 1 Samuel 9 and 10, if you want to turn there in your Bible. I'm kind of just summarizing chapter 9, and then we're going to read chapter 10. So you got this tall, dark, and handsome guy. His father's donkeys are lost, and so he sets out to find them with one of his servants. They search long, they search hard, they're like far and wide, all over the borderlands, trying to find these donkeys to no avail. They can't find them, and the servant says, "Hey, I've heard there's a seer. There's a seer in this area." And the scripture tells us, he said, before they were called prophets, they were called seers. Which is kind of cool, because it sounds like somebody from the Lord of the Rings. They don't usually talk about, like, there's a prophet. They say, oh, there's a seer. It just sounds cool. There's a seer. So they go to the town where the seer is supposed to be to ask about the donkey. And this seer invites them to come in to eat with him. He's going to be making sacrifices, and they're having this feast. And he tells them, point blank, oh, your donkeys are found. Don't worry about that. He puts them up for the night, and then he pulls Saul away before he sends him off to go home. Saul's worried because he's thinking, Dad's going to be more worried about me now than he is about the donkeys because we've been gone so long. So Samuel's going to send him off. He gets him up early. He's like, hey, you guys need to get on the road. But come here. He said, send your servant on. I want to talk to you. He gets Saul away privately, and we find out this seer's name is Samuel. And Samuel is a prophet. He hears from the Lord. And he comes and he says, Saul, God is going to anoint you to be a prince over your people. And this is where Saul says this. Am I not a Benjamite? Who am I? Who's my family? We're humble. Who am I? But he anoints Saul. And he tells him this. He tells him, this is what's going to happen to you today. You're going to encounter these guys with food. They're going to give you some food. And he just kind of lays out his day, even just like practical, menial things. This is what's going to happen. And he says, and you're going to encounter this group of prophets. And they're going along. They're going to be worshiping. They're going to have instruments. And they're going to be prophesying as they walk down the path. Interesting. Imagine you're out hiking around Spokane area, out around, and you encounter a group of guys with instruments prophesying. Interesting. It was just like, huh. I wouldn't expect that if I'm just out hiking the trails. But Samuel says, this is what's going to happen. And he says, that you're going to encounter these guys. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And this is what really struck me this week of the Holy Spirit's work in us. You don't have to become Flash Gordon or Shazam or, you know, the Incredible Hulk or whatever. You don't have to become someone else. The Holy Spirit, when he comes upon you, is going to turn you into a new you. It's actually more to do with him than you. But let's read this. Because this is what he said is gonna happen. I'm gonna pick up in 1 Samuel 10, verse 6. This is where Samuel says it. Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Now when these signs meet you, do what your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Then go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I am coming to you to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you shall do. When he turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all these signs came to pass that day. When they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God rushed upon him, and he prophesied among them. And when all who knew him previously saw how he prophesied with the prophets, the people said to one another, "What has come over the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" And a man of the place answered, "And who is their father?" Samuel. Therefore, it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" And when he had finished prophesying, he came to the high place. And the story goes on. He goes home. He doesn't tell anybody about what Samuel has said to him. He just tells him, "Oh yeah, he told me that the donkeys were found." And he kind of kept that to himself. This whole story came about because of some lost donkeys. isn't it weird the things God will use in our lives to set up God moments? People. God wants to connect you with his people. This whole thing, this whole story comes about because God is wanting to connect a man named Saul. He comes from a privileged background. Pretty much, he's got what he needs. They're wealthy. He's good looking. He's kind of the, he's the guy, like, wow, what a catch. And God has bigger plans for this guy. And he orchestrates this whole situation to get him connected with a prophet, to get him connected with someone who hears from God, who will speak into his life. God uses donkeys. God uses distractions in our lives to create these moments. When the distractions come, and it's not if they come, it's when distractions come in our lives, it helps to remember there's a prophetic hand. There's a supernatural sovereign God behind the scenes at work. Now, is the devil doing stuff? You bet. Is he causing bad things? I'm just trying to think. You know, Jesus says he came to destroy the works of the devil. Yes. Yes, he did. That means the devil is doing works opposed to God. And yet behind that, there's this sovereign God at work. And everything the devil is trying to do to work harm into your lives and bring distraction to your lives, behind that, God is working to turn those things for good. He knows the end from the beginning. He's already seen through it all. Everything the devil's trying to do. The devil's finite. So he doesn't know the future. He's kind of stuck. And he's like, I'm trying to do this. And everything he does, God already knows. Like, he's already got it worked out. And God's working these distractions. So when the distractions come, remember God's hand moving in ways we don't understand. Don't forget this. This week, I was working out at the gym. I know it doesn't look like that, but I really was. And there's this guy, he's Greek. This Greek guy at the gym is, his name's Alfredo. And he loves to talk. He loves to talk. And everybody's Alfredo's friend at the gym. He's one of those guys, like, he's never met a stranger. Like, he walks in, or I walk in the gym, and he's like, hey, buddy, how's it going? They're like, I've met you once before. And we're like, we're buddies. He's just like, hey. And then the next person walks in the gym, and he's just grabbing them. I'm like, dude, this guy needs to come to church. I want this guy at the front door because he is everybody's friend. Right now, he is profane. He's vulgar. And the things he says, like, he's super sweet to the ladies when they come in, and he's hugging, and he's just like, oh, great. Yeah. And then he talks to the guys, and it's just like, you know, bleep, 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 bleep. You know, it's like, oh, wow, this guy is vile. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to come and work out at the gym, and you just keep distracting me because you want to talk. And then you just talk dirty, too. So, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. The distractions, God, what are you setting up? What are you setting up? I happen to be a prophetic person. And God's brought me into meet with this guy named Alfredo in the gym. And I'm just there. I'm just like, I got to do buys and tries today and a little bit of shoulders. And I got to pound this out because I got to get down to the house and get to work. And I just need to work. And these distractions, what is God setting up? God's setting up relationship. He will work things to bring us into contact with his people. I'm thinking of Paul. Even when Paul comes to the city of, I believe it's Ephesus. And I'm talking off the top of my head here, so correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's the city of Ephesus. He's coming in, and Paul's a church planter, kind of like us. Here we are in Spokane, planting a church. Like, how do we do this? Kind of figuring things out. And he comes in, and there's opposition in this city. And God says to him, don't be afraid. I have many people in this city. Now, wait. There's no church here yet. Like, no church yet. It's not like when we came into Spokane and there's about 180 other churches, and a lot of them are great with leaders who love Jesus and we can ally with people right away. No, when Paul came into a city, it was pagan. And he comes in, and God says, I have many people in this city. No, you don't. What are you talking about? Yeah, he does. Because God sees the end from the beginning. And God's prophesying to Paul, saying, no, there's many people in this city that I have. And I'm bringing you. I'm working things. I'm working shipwrecks. I'm working people driving you out of one city so you have to go into another one. All these distractions, all these donkeys. God's working all these things together to get you positioned into the right place so he can work amazing things in your life. This is what he does. Important to remember this, because in the middle of a distraction and in the middle of being driven out of a city, I'm sure Paul wasn't thinking, this is amazing. I can't wait to do this in the next city. Maybe they'll beat me three more times. No, it's trials, it's struggle, it's tribulation. And yet behind it all, God is moving to connect you with his people. Secondly, he's connecting Saul here into his plan. God will surprise you, guys. He will surprise you with the plan he has for you. So Saul's not expecting to be king. He's probably thinking, I'm going to inherit daddy's money. I'm going to inherit the family land, the family business, the family donkeys, you know, donkeys. We got a donkey business. You know, I could think of better businesses. The donkeys. He's not expecting to be a king. He's not expecting to, I'm going to be a leader of men. I'm going to be a guy who shapes a nation. His tribe of Benjamin, they're not prestigious. His clan is the little guys. They're the least among the least tribe. In fact, if you know the history of the tribe of Benjamin, they were decimated, just a few generations before this. Before Saul's time, they were decimated by the other 11 tribes of Israel and wiped out to where there were only a few men left. And so his tribe is literally the least because population-wise, they're just tiny. And they were a little bit, they had a reputation because of who they were who they were. Hey, my old Southern boy just came out for a second. Excuse me. My mama is from Memphis, so that might happen. My dad's from Kentucky, so look out. Occasionally, you might get that from me. So guys, Saul's not expecting to be king. He's not expecting to be a deliverer. Samuel said this. I skipped this in the story. In 1 Samuel 9:16, this is what God tells Samuel about Saul. Tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. And immediately Samuel has to be going, Benjamin? Really? From Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel. He shall save my people from the hand of the Philistines. Last week we were talking about Samson, and that was the same thing God prophesied to Samson's mother, is he is going to begin to save his people from the Philistines. Saul is not expecting to be the savior of the people. He's not expecting to be a deliverer. He's just like, I'm Saul. But God's got a bigger plan. I imagine you're seeing the correlation here. God has a bigger plan for you. He has a bigger plan for me. He has a bigger plan for Grace Church Spokane. He has a bigger plan for his church across this city and across this region, his church among the nations. God has a bigger plan, and he's doing everything behind the scenes to connect us with his plan. He moves you. He repositions you. It's kind of easy talking to this room right now because we've all been repositioned. Yeah, what's going on? God repositioned and repositioning us. We're still in the transition. Looking at Donald back here, that in the their house is just about to close, and then waiting to close on the other house, moving into Spokane. It's fun. It's a super exciting time. Now, three things here. You see it on the screen. This is God's plan. God's the initiator. He's the author. He's the perfecter of our faith. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's it. This is God's plan. Now, he's pretty good at working out his plan. He knows what he's doing. But it's important for us to remember it's not our plan. It's God's plan. But then he has a plan for us together. Now, there's several, I didn't put them on the screen. I could have just gone on and on and on and on with all of the one another's in Scripture. In the New Testament, I just wrote down three of them. James 5:16 says this, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. God's plan for us, there's a togetherness in this thing. God needed to get Saul with Samuel, with this guy who has spiritual authority, and he says, okay, now we're going to do stuff together. Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Galatians 6:10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. God has a plan for us together, and he has a plan for each of us individually. A lot of times we get very focused on God's plan for me, and we forget, yeah, God has a specific plan for you, but it's connected with his plan for us, the us thing. Just be ready to be surprised. And then be surprised again. And be surprised again. God's going to just keep blowing your mind. As we sang today, open up our eyes. Surround us with your light. You know, your love endures forever. It's good to remember that. Your love endures forever. You're opening up my eyes bigger. Oh gosh, what are we doing? Your plan is what? I have to move to be a part of this plan? Wait a minute. Okay, remember, his love endures forever. Okay, all right, I'm okay. I can hang out with this. I can get risky. I can get dangerous. I can move out in the Spirit because I'm secure in your love. Don't forget that, because his plan is going to blow your mind. Thirdly, and this is where it really gets us into this empowered series, God's doing everything to connect you with his people, with his plan, and with his power. God is so serious and so committed to his people and his plan, he will supernaturally empower you to fulfill it. Now, so last week we were talking about Samson, who his character left a lot to be desired. We all said, no, we do not want our children to grow up and be like Samson. Oh, it's all right. Don't sweat it. It's okay. Don't even worry about it. We'll get it when it's done. So Samson, we do not want our children to grow up to be like Samson. His character is not good. But God's going to move. Like, Saul also has character that is leaves a little to be desired. But what happens to Saul, in spite of himself, in spite of who he is, the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you. This is important. The Spirit of God is rushing upon this man, Saul. What has Saul done to deserve this? Nothing. Yeah. And he actually blows it down the line. He totally blows it. And God says, all right, we're going to have to put in another king. But Saul hasn't done anything. He hasn't earned this Spirit of God. Just like Samson didn't earn. Actually, Samson, it was prophesied over him before he was born. You're going to be a deliverer of my people. I mean, he couldn't even say, okay, because he wasn't born yet. At least Saul's got something going for him. He can respond, and he responds with questioning. But God empowers him. The Spirit of the Lord rushes upon him in 1 Samuel 10:10. It reminds me, it's actually kind of a foreshadowing of Acts chapter 2, verse 2, when the believers are gathered together in this upper room, and the Spirit of God says, sound like a mighty rushing wind filled the room. Just imagine that. Just this big, I need like bigger subs to make that work, you know. But this big sound of rushing wind fills a room and says divided tongues, and that word Greek tongue is actually like your tongue. But the Greek word it uses is literally a tongue. Tongue of fire. It looked like a tongue, and it came to sit on each of them. And what happens? They're empowered, and they begin to speak in new tongues. But the same thing happens to Saul. The Spirit of God rushes upon him. It does something. When the Spirit comes on him, it enables him to prophesy. Saul was not known up to this day as a prophet. He was not known as a person who would speak for God. He was not known as this person who declared the oracles of God. In fact, when it happens, everybody goes, what? Saul? Is Saul among the prophets? Are you kidding me? You know, Saul's like, you know, Mr. Yuppie over here. The Spirit of God enables him to prophesy. The Spirit of God, when the Spirit comes upon you and me, enables us to do things we couldn't do on our own. To do things and say things we couldn't do ourselves. So it happens to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 10. Acts chapter 2, it happens to the believers gathered in this upper room. The Spirit of God rushes upon them. And it's different in Acts because he doesn't just rush upon them, actually fills them. And it's a whole new world we get to live in today than Saul had to live in, where the Spirit of God would come on him occasionally, and the prophets, the Spirit of God would come on them occasionally. In our day, the Spirit of God comes upon us and comes within us, takes up his residence within us, and we get to live as a prophetic people. This is amazing. That's why I can say we come into worship and we go, hey, what's God saying? Because we together are a prophetic people. Wow. So it happens to the believers. It happens to this guy named Peter, who's leading the church in the New Testament. Peter, in the same Acts chapter 2, at the end of the chapter, his boldness, God transforms him into a new man. The same guy who had been totally rejecting Jesus and having anything to do with Jesus, swearing about it. I got nothing to do with that. Bleep. Suddenly this guy who was trying to save his own life is now standing up before people and saying, yeah, this Jesus whom you crucified, God's declared him to be Lord and King. What happened to this guy? Well, the Spirit of God rushed upon him. Well, it happens to us too. I want to read this. Acts, this is in Acts 2. We're kind of wrapping it up here. Acts 2:38. This is Peter being very bold. And he says to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So who is God wanting to empower? Us. Yeah, you, me. He wants to empower each of us. There's no one in this room this morning who can say, no, that's for someone else. No, this is for me. This is for you. This is for us. He's so committed, not just to connect you with his plan, but to seeing this plan fulfilled and to draw you into his plan, to give you the joy of fulfilling his plan, that he's going to empower you with his very Spirit to do it. Now, there's a lot more we'll get into in future Sundays here. The Holy Spirit isn't just to give you power. Holy Spirit helps you to know the sonship that you have in God, intimacy with God. The Spirit does a lot for us and in us. But for today, we're just focusing on he comes in to empower us. So what does this mean for us? First, God gives us another heart. There's the three things. They're just jumping up there on the screen. I didn't have time in my PowerPoint to have them come up one at a time. So you get to be ahead of me in my amazing preaching. So first, God gives us another heart. 1 Samuel 10:9. As soon as Saul turned away from Samuel, Samuel says, this is what's going to happen. And Samuel begins to walk away. As soon as it happens, it says, God gave him a new heart. First thing that needs to happen in our lives, we want to walk in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We want to walk in the fullness of what God has for us. First thing we need is a new heart. Saul needed a new heart. Peter needed a new heart. We all need a new heart. When Peter stood up, he said to all these people that are amazed at the outpouring of God, they're amazed that the Holy Spirit is working like ways they've never seen before. People are speaking in languages they don't speak. Whoa, what's going on? There's great joy. These people are, when they're defining it, when they're saying, what's going on? One of the scriptures they talk about says glad tongues. It's happy tongues. They're happy. These people are happy. They're full of the Spirit. They're speaking. They don't know what they're saying. How weird is that? Like, if you've grown up in America in the 20th century and now the 21st century, you kind of at least have a grid, even if it's just watching Christian TV and you see people doing weird prophetic stuff and speaking in tongues, and at least we have a grid for it. These guys didn't have a grid. Like, what is this? I'm imagining they're laughing at each other or at themselves. Like, this is funny. This is really, really strange. So everyone's gathering, saying, what is this? And Peter says to them, well, this is the Holy Spirit. This is what was prophesied in the Old Testament. This had been prophesied. And he says to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you can have this too. But first you need the new heart. First the repentance. First we come and we say, Jesus, I need you. I recognize I need you as the Lord of my life. Then, secondly, just a few verses later, Spirit rushes upon Saul and he's turned into another man. So first, God gives us a new heart. Secondly, he totally empowers us, turns us into another man. God is not interested in replacing you. He created you on purpose. He created you specifically, uniquely. He designed you. Does that mean you don't have flaws? Does that mean you don't live in a sinful world and you don't battle with sinful things? No, you do. But God has designed you. He's not interested in wiping you away and bringing in someone else to do a better job and to be a better you. You know? God is very much interested in you. He wants to not replace you, but empower you. The new you in God is still you, but infused with Jesus, centered in Jesus, and full of the Spirit of Christ. This is what God wants to do. Acts 1:8 said this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You're going to receive power, and you are going to be my witnesses, not somebody else. It's like we even find out down the line, you know, Saul, it wasn't somebody else at first. Actually, it did become someone else because he rebelled. But God's intent is to use little old you and make you supernaturally empowered you. So, Saul's still imperfect. Break the news to you, in case you didn't know this. You're still imperfect. I'm still imperfect. I'm flawed. Here I am, such as I am, and here we are. But guys, Jesus is perfection. He's perfection incarnate. He's God made flesh. When we look at Jesus, we're looking at perfection. And when he said, I'm going to go back to heaven, and I'm going to send the Spirit, and it's going to be better that I go back to heaven because now I can fill you with my Spirit. You have the perfection of God coming to live in you. And so even though you're imperfect, the perfect God is empowering your life. That's what he wants to do. He's transforming you over time, over your lifetime, transforming you to be like him and to radically impact the world in which you live. Cool. That starts right here in Spokane. God is radically empowering each of us to impact Spokane. Cool. He's going to do this through his saving power. That's what he does. Isn't that cool? I just kind of stand and go, wow, God, that you would do this. He could have done all of it by himself. He could have done it all on his own. He could have taken care of it. But he's chosen to, through distractions and through stuff, to come and connect us into the plan. Connect us into his people. Connect us with his power. And then we draw us into life everlasting. Whoa. He didn't have to do any of it. And he's done all of it. This is the amazing Jesus we serve. Let's just pray. Jesus, thank you so much for your perfection. Now that we don't have to be perfect to come to you. We don't have to be perfect to come and even receive from you and participate in your plan. But we can come just as we are to you. And Jesus, I just want to pray out on my own behalf. I just say, God, I freshly come to you today. Holy, just gladly, to just embrace you. Say, Jesus, fill my life. Freshly fill my life. Empower my life. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit poured out on the church and poured out in the world today. I just want to receive. And guys, as I'm praying, I'm talking, but you guys could be saying these same things to God in your own words, but just from your heart. But Jesus, I surrender to you. I submit my life to you. I recognize I need you. I'm not very empowered in myself. I could be a lot like Saul, just saying, who am I? But Jesus, when I'm walking with you and I'm walking full of your Spirit, I don't have to worry about the who am I. I get to focus on who are you and what are you doing. Jesus, do it through me. Do it through us. I just pray for that, for us together in this city where you've planted us. God, would you use us to bring your kingdom? Would you use us to see people set free? Would you use us to see people saved? To see people encountering you, to see people filled with the Spirit. Would you do that through us? We just say, Jesus, we are dependent on you. I'm dependent on you. We can't build a church, but you can. We can't change hearts, but you can. We can't save people, Jesus, but you can. We can't do it. And we wouldn't have it any other way. God, we love you. Just thrilled with who you are. Thank you for choosing us and choosing to use us, choosing to empower us. Wow. So God, we just pray all these things in your name. Thank you for them, that through Jesus, we have life, we have hope, we have this empowered life in God. Amen.